Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to take
Out there in the middle of May, since she I left. I got shot on third.
Oh.
Third.
Uh-huh. He was your replacement.
Yes,
yeah.
Good morning.
Could you bring me a towel? This is a small one. The table's wet. I had to turn it off because it was offline to go back on. And I was just going to finish the show and put some of my shows on and then we can go. Okay. You're not connected. So meaningless.
What's with you?
But you're not. You're right.
Well, I don't know. Do we need to wear these name tags?
No.
Till tonight?
No. It's not.
Protection you can get. Choose a breakthrough in premium gasoline. Caution. Fiery chicken fries have arrived at Burger King. Seasoned with a combination of spices that don't make your mouth dry. Introducing fiery chicken fries. Only at Burger King.
Welcome to Hooters, your fantasy football headquarters. You think Catholic takes the big thing? Enter the Hooters Fantasy Football Challenge for a shot at your share at $300,000 and a claim to fantasy football. You gotta get into Hooters and find out how to win.
Forces until Joe Biden decides to get back, decides to get into the race. Bobby.
I the quote, right, Joe Jones, from the draft Biden camp was, you know, keep an open mind. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the bottom line. It's keep an open mind. Make sure that you don't jump the guns here until Joe Biden decides what he's going to do. It's also a little bit informational, too, if you will. I want to tell people what Joe Biden is doing over the next several weeks. He's going to have a very busy schedule trying to push the president's proposal on Iran, as well as meetings with the Pope who's coming to the United States. So he's got a very full plate, and the best guess, the estimate here among the people in the draft Biden movement, is that he'll make a decision around the first week of October.
All right. We'll be watching Joe Johns in Minneapolis for us. Thank you. You heard it. Hillary Clinton speaking just around news there. Joining me now, Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center and co-author of the upcoming book, The First Primary, New Hampshire's Outsized Role in Social Nominations. Thanks for being with me, Andy.
Good morning, Poppy.
Let's start with New Hampshire, actually. A recent Boston Herald Franklin Pierce poll shows Bernie Sanders now leads Hillary Clinton in New Hampshire 44-37. Now, you know, neighboring Vermont, so that's probably part of it here. But he had been trailing her by nearly 40 percentage points in March. That is a sharp reversal. Why?
I think there are a couple things going on. First off, that there is among Democrats a growing sense of dissatisfaction with Hillary Clinton. And also historically in New Hampshire, 35% to 45% of the Democratic electorate here favors the non-establishment candidate. This goes back to Gene McCarthy in 1968, but more recently with Bill Bradley in 2004, even Barack Obama in 2008. So it's not surprising that there are a block of Democrats that are looking for someone other than the mainstream established candidate, which is Hillary Clinton. That said, Sanders has been doing better, in part because he's been campaigning more effectively than Clinton. Clinton has not been in the state as much as Sanders. She certainly hasn't been able to draw the crowds that Sanders has here in another state. But I think it's critical to remember that it's August. We've seen these sorts of things happen time and time again, where a candidate will bump up in the summer or in the fall, but they will their support dissipates as voters actually start to decide who they're going to vote for and who they consider to be best for their party in November.
Maybe the voters aren't paying attention to every single tiny detail just let yet, like we in the press are. Maybe they're taking their time deciding.
I would say in New Hampshire, even in New Hampshire, they aren't paying attention.
Yeah, it's a very important point. Okay, let me ask you this. I thought it was very interesting to hear from Hillary Clinton this week, completely pivoting on the email, changing her tone in her own words, quote, taking responsibility for her use of personal email at the State Department. Even former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm, who heads up a Hillary super PAC, came in and said this is a pivot that she needed to make. How does that change the game?
Well, it'll be a long time, Julia, to see the impact of that. But I think that it's a necessary thing for her to do. With any sort of a political scandal or political problem like this, the first thing you have to do is take ownership of the issue and then start to control the message that comes out about that issue. And she has not been doing that to date. It may be a little bit late for her to be able to take that control back because we're seeing this issue now in the hands of the Justice Department, the FBI, and certainly congressional committees, which will continue to push this for the next several months. So it's not going to go away that quickly.
And we do point out one of the things that stood out a lot in the Quinnipiac poll that came out this week is Hillary Clinton's slumping numbers, right? But at the same time, to be fair here, she is still leading by a pretty big margin within the candidates thus far. Are we making much ado about nothing here?
Well, she is leading the national poll, but she's been very close with Sanders in New Hampshire and actually now trailing in a couple polls in New Hampshire. I would pay more attention to the early state polls where there is an actual campaign going on than in the national polls. National polls tend to lag the early state polls by a week or 2 weeks. So I think that we are not making too much of it in that the Clinton has a serious problem, but polling right now is no way indicative in February or when the actual votes start to be counted.
All right, Andy Smith, Director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. Thank you for being with me. Congratulations on your new book. Appreciate it, sir.
Thank you very much.
Of course. Still to come here in the newsroom, a senator calling out his congressional colleagues saying they need to do more after the violent murder of these two journalists. We'll join me live next. You talk here. You talk there. If you're a toe tucker because of toenail fungus, ask your doctor now about prescription keratin. If your daily keratin drops into the fungus at the site of infection and yet the root of your toe tucker, keratin may cause irritation at the treated site. Most common side effects include skin peeling, ingrown toenail, redness, itching, and swelling. Tell your doctor if you have any side effects that bothers you or does not go away. Stop toe tucking and get the drop on toenail fungus. Ask your doctor today about keratin.
Just in case you were wondering what Cheerios are made of, whole grain oats.
T-Mobile knows your business. That's why we're giving you coverage in three countries for the price of one. Get 4G LTE data in Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. But unlimited calls and texts from all three countries.
I know, I just take our memory card.
Michael can run circles in here and not worry about running into stuff with her. And with all this lighting, man, just amazing.
Lady Joy, it's been a pleasure from all of us.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you so much.
You're a pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, Antonio, to come into this house to be able to help us transform this room, it's like a dream come true. There's no lottery winning that could equal. I mean,
hi, folks. It's me, Colonel Sanders.
Hey, that's not the real Colonel Sanders. I'm the real Colonel Sanders. This is how you sell chicken.
Howdy, folks. It's me, the real Colonel Sanders. I'm back to tell you about my new $20 family villa. It's a treasure chest of delicious home-style cooking served in containers, not treasure chests. It's finger-licking good.
For example,
She told the school nurse a couple of days later that it had been consensual. She made some other inconsistencies with others. Friendly messages to the defendant after the encounter. So those are the things that I think the jury's focused on. The defense says he never actually had sex with him, correct? That's the defense, and it's important because she's underage. So even if it was consensual, it would still be a crime if, in fact, there was had sex. It would be a misdemeanor if it was consensual, but it would still
be a crime. Why is it a misdemeanor if it's consensual with a minor?
Because under many states' laws, they have what they call Romeo and Juliet exceptions. And so if teenagers, in this case, there's a three-year difference, are involved in an encounter, it can be treated as a misdemeanor. If the defendant had been in his 20s, it would have been a serious felony. But we don't know what the jury's thinking. There's a lot of evidence, though, to suggest that there was more than just contact and kissing. And so I think it's going to be much tougher to avoid a conviction on what we would call the consensual sex charges.
And so let's say that they do find him guilty. The option is, I guess, misdemeanor.
There is that option. Versus, though, you know, sexual assault, that's a 20-year prison sentence potential. So he could lose a major portion of his life, or if he loses...
If it's a misdemeanor, what would that be?
Typically, it's a matter of months rather than years. If he's sentenced to prison, and probably not have to be registered as a sexual offender. So this is a very, very close case in terms of where the jury's going, and there's probably already divisions within that existing jury, so many in favor of acquittal, so many in favor of conviction.
There's also the possibility of acquittal.
There's a possibility of an acquittal, and the defense lawyer recognized he could not put the victim on trial, but to aim for a complete acquittal, I think he was trying to put the school on trial, saying, hey, something bad happened that night. We know you don't blame the victim here, but you don't have to take this young man with all kinds of promising hope for his future and make him a criminal in the school.
Talk to me about the after the verdict. Yeah, unless it is full acquittal, what are the possibilities of appeal?
This is going to be a very difficult case to have a successful appeal on.
Oh, really? Difficult appeal.
Difficult appeal. Because at the end of the day, the jury's entitled to weigh the evidence, her account versus his account. And once they decide that, the appeal court can't disturb that. Some people describe this kind of a case as a he said versus that she said. But if a jury believes what she said, the he part of it usually winds up in jail.
And if it is conviction, it could be years or maybe months.
It could be, depending on what the dramatic difference in possible outcomes here.
John, Bobby, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, appreciate your time.
And we have Ken Bellman shooting us two young journalists live on television. Just a short time ago, Virginia officials revealed the reporter Allison Parker and cameraman Adam Ward were both shot in the head. The official cause of death now is listed as a homicide. Now, they were shot and killed by Vester Lee Flanagan, a co-worker who was fired from the station 2 years ago. And these are videos that we have from within Lee's apartment. As you can see, there's not a lot in it. He's got that computer. He's got just a couple of sofas and that small dining room area. This is an apartment I'm told was about $600 a month. And the only pictures that we can see in this video are pictures of himself that he kept in the refrigerator in the kitchen. And there you see a part of the bedroom. The station's general manager is shedding more light about the day Flanagan was let go.
He reacted angrily, telling them that they would have to call the police because he was going to make a stink and it was going to be in the headlines. The police arrived and escorted him from the building. On the way out, he handed a wooden cross to the news director, who was at that time Dan Dennison, and he said, "You'll need this."
And I'm joined now by workplace safety expert Peter Martin, CEO of KFI. Matt, an international security company. Peter, good to see you. Thanks for being with me.
Thank you.
Let's talk about this very troubling case. By all accounts, Flanagan was difficult to work with. What can companies do when they see that they have someone like that and they let him go? What are the things that we can do to protect our workers?
These situations are very broad, and it's difficult to address them from a one-stop, you know, one-size-fits-all type of response, because at any time within the relationship, in the workplace, there can be the violence. It's not necessarily after the person's attached. But in this specific case, what they want to do, what companies really need to do, is they need to have a very, very precise program and process for detaching employees. You're not going to be able to stop the mental illness. You're not going to be able to stop the deterioration of the individual. But what you want to do is you want to make sure the relationship, when it departs, is not contentious, and therefore the workplace becomes the target.
It seems as though in this workplace where he was last employed, they did everything they could. They asked him to go into counseling. They talked to him. Even though it seems pretty clear that at the end there, he was really troubling to a lot of people.
Absolutely. And what you would notice in this particular case, there was a significant span of time between when he left the business at the time when he came back.
2 years.
Absolutely. So in these types of cases, what we recommend is periodic monitoring of individuals. Companies like ours, there's third-party experts out there. It's relatively inexpensive. And if you look at his social media profile, what you saw is that slow deterioration of the mental stability was being posted and it was being shown. And those are opportunities to look at.
This is interesting you're talking about, because you're saying that there are things. Yesterday I was having a conversation on Twitter with someone who was saying, well, if you're in a company and you see things that are happening with an employee who's problematic, who can you help? Who can you talk to? What third party is there that can help after he's gone?
There's some great companies out there that are PhD psychologists. And what they do is they become engaged in the process.
But it still doesn't change the fact that anybody can sue anybody at any time. And if you're a company, you're going to make a business decision and say, well, you know what, we'd rather not go through the trouble. Let's just say nothing at all about Bob after he beats our employee.
All right, thanks of all the support perspective. Thank you, as always. Still to come here, New Orleans schools have rebounded in the 10 years since Hurricane Katrina. But at what cost to the city's unique character?
I just stepped away to this show.
So we cleared that up. That was at a rally in Greenville, South Carolina. The woman actually tested it out. Well, they quote, a very bizarre experience. Terrified, she says she still has not decided who she's going to vote for. So you may have seen video of this kid. He isn't even in high school and already has the moves of a seasoned pro.
Save all week during our last chance summer sale. Right now, select suits are only $199.99. Plus, buy one, get one free on even more fashionable favorites. Only at Men's Warehouse. I accept that I'm not 21. I accept that I'm not the sprinter I was back in college. I even accept that I live with a higher risk of stroke due to AFib, a type of irregular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. But I won't accept giving it less than my best. So if I can go for something better than warfarin, I will. Eliquis. Eliquis reduced the risk of stroke better than warfarin. Plus, it had less major bleeding than warfarin. Eliquis had both. That really mattered to me. Don't stop taking Eliquis unless your doctor tells you to, as stopping increases your risk of having a stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve or abnormal bleeding. While taking Eliquis, you may bruise more easily, and it may take longer than usual for any bleeding to stop. Seek immediate medical care for sudden signs of bleeding, like unusual bruising. Eliquis may increase your bleeding risk if you take certain medicines. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. I accept that I'm not as fast, but I'm still going for my personal best and for Eliquis. Reduce the risk of stroke, plus less bleeding. Ask your doctor if Eliquis is right for you. Introducing Flex by Joseph Foods. Innovative, premium knit jeans designed for comfort and perfect for an active lifestyle. Flex by Joseph Boog, available exclusively at Ben's Warehouse.
Try some French. You like that?
She said they were going to go to one of them. She said she's just
respected and successful athlete.
Any car and the city of San Francisco paid tribute. This is an awesome tribute to the late Justin Wilson with a conflict of any cars going across the Olympic Bridge. Wilson's teammate driver Marco Andretti took the wheel of Justin's number 25 car, and along with four other drivers across the bridge on their way to Sonoma, California, which is the site of the final race for IndyCar season. Justin Wilson died in an accident at the Pocono 500 last Sunday. He was 37 years old.
And definitely must be if you're a college football fan or a college football recruiter. A bloodthirsty Florida middle school quarterback named Alex Valdez used super ninja-like skills to avoid being sacked, and then used a javelin-like skill to throw this awesome touchdown pass. No to Nebraska.
Yeah, just
astronaut.